Conform to the darkness.
Thank you for listening to one of the audio messages from Cornerstone Church Airdrie. My name is Brad, and I have the privilege of serving as the lead campus pastor and primary preaching voice at Cornerstone Church Airdrie. So if it's me you're hearing speak today, or if it's someone else, our desire is still the same. We pray that you are so encouraged, that you are built up, challenged, and inspired. Through these messages, our hope for you is that you would grow in knowing God, knowing His hope, knowing His purpose, and knowing His power. We believe that the God who spoke all through Scripture is still speaking to us today, and we pray that as you listen to this message, the heart of God would be speaking to you. Enjoy the message. This morning, sort of like last Sunday, when we did something a little different, last Sunday we had Vision Sunday, where I shared with you about a couple of things that God has for us in this season of Cornerstone Church. Small groups and community impact and bottles for the body and managing all of the new people and what that looks like and how exciting it is that we're in this season of growth. This Sunday, again, we're doing something a little bit different. This Sunday, I talked this morning about Grow Track and what Grow Track is. And the first session of Grow Track really is just a snapshot of who and what we are as a church. And so I think it's important that we spend time actually doing that together as a church, reminding ourselves of who, what God has called us to be about and who God has called us to be, and coming back to this every now and again and just saying, remember who we are. Now, if you're new to our church, or if this is your first Sunday, this is probably a really good Sunday to be here, because you're going to get a crash course on everything we are. If you've ever gone to a church and you just said, I wish I could just find out who they are and what they were all about, today you're going to find out all of those things. But before we really start into what I have to share with you, I need to let you know a couple of things. First, when we do Grow Track, we've got workbooks. And on the back information table, there are some books there. If you'd like one, if you need a book or a pen or anything like that, and Kathy will help too. If you'd like one, just raise your hand and they'll be happy to give you one. And we're going to go through and fill in some blanks and all of that. Sometimes it helps to remember things by writing them down. And so if you would like a book, a pen, a book and a pen, whatever it is that you need, just put your hand up and they will be dropped, or they'll be delivered right to you, delivery service. So step one, we really look at the church. We're going to look at who we are as a church and what our values are and what our priorities are and what we as a church would say, this is what we're about. Then we're going to move on to step two. And in step two, we look at the individual, at you, and who God has created you to be. And so we're going to look at spiritual gifts and personality traits and different things like that to help us discover our unique design. And then in step three, we're going to come together and we're going to talk about what it means to be a part of the family here at Cornerstone Church, what it means to be a part of our community and all that. And in step four, we take all of those things and we squish them all together and we find out our best way forward. One of the things that I need to let you know before we start, and this is sort of the last caveat, I was very sick this week. And so as I was preparing all of the slides and stuff like that, I was doing that with a very foggy, sick brain. So I already know that, like, on the first page of your book, it's going to have what step one, step two, and step three, and step four are. I forgot to put those up on the slide, so I'll make sure that I say that. And if there's any spelling mistakes, I'm really sorry. I did my best to not do that, but the program that I was using, the spell check isn't always great, and I was foggy-brained and sick, so hopefully everything's okay. But so, four steps to Grow Track, and on your first page there, it'll step one of the Grow Track, which we're doing today. Step one is called Connect to the Vision. And in this day, we're going to talk all about what we are as a church, the vision that God has given us, not just for a season like we talked about last week, but this is who we are as a church. Whatever season comes and goes, this is who God has created us to be. Step two is called Discover Your Design, and that's where I talked about what we look at is who we are. who God has created us to be. What are your giftings? You've got giftings and you've got abilities and you've got a personality. And those giftings and those personality and your personality, those personalities, hopefully not, your personality, they come together to create who God has made you to be. And God made you, you, for a specific reason. And so we start to see how that shapes our connection to church and to the body of Christ. And step three is called develop your direction. And what step three is all about is, now that we know who you are, how do we grow in that? Okay, it's great that we know who we are, and it's great that we know what we are and all of that, but how do we take the next steps? And we talk about what it means to be a follower of Christ, what we talk about what it means to grow as a follower of Christ. And then the fourth step is called connect to our team. And this is a sort of like a workshop where we look at who you are and who we are, and we see how those two things fit together. Now, the way that GrowTrack will traditionally work is all of the other sessions, step two, step three, and step four, they'll take place following the service out in the front room, assuming that everybody who wants to take it can fit in there. If not, we'll move back into here. But following the service for about half an hour. Each session should take about half an hour. And then at the end of it, we'll hopefully all come to know a little bit more about who we are and who the church is and see a way forward for us to be connected together as the body of Christ. Now, what I want to begin by sharing with you is whether you've come to church for a long time here or whether you're new here, we have a specific vision for you. We've got a vision for you and a vision for your life and a vision of what God wants to do in us and through us as Cornerstone Church. And it's made up of four things. And these four things come from Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 16 through 19. And what's happening here is Paul is sharing in these verses what he prays for the church in Ephesus, this church that he planted in Ephesus. He says, I pray for you when I think about you, and I pray for these things. And as I read through those things, I thought, yeah, that's what we need. And so what Paul writes is this. He says, I always give thanks for you and pray for you. I pray that the great God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ may give you the wisdom of his Spirit. Then you will be able to understand the secrets about him as you know him better. I pray that you will know how great his power is for those who have put... Oh, we skipped a couple of verses in there. Okay, let's try this again. See, I did it while I had a cold. Let me read you these verses. I always give thanks for you and pray for you. I pray that the great God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ may give you the wisdom of his Spirit. Then you will be able to understand the secrets about him as you know him better. I pray that your hearts will be able to understand. I pray that you will know about the hope given by God's call. I pray that you will see how great the things are that he has promised to those who belong to him. I pray that you will know how great his power is for those who have put their trust in him. This is what Paul prays for the church and says, this is what I'm praying for you. This is what I want in your life. And for us here at the church, these are the same things that we want for you. He prays that there's four things that are included in there that he wants for them to have in their lives, that he prays for them. And it's what we pray would be our testimony, would be our impact in your life and in our lives as Cornerstone Church. The first basic thing is that we, you, would know God. At the very beginning of all of it is that we want to make sure that you have an opportunity, that I have an opportunity, that collectively we have an opportunity to know God. But the word know is a complicated word because it's something that we use it to mean lots of different things. You can know lots of things, but There's levels of knowing. There's levels of knowledge. There's an awareness of something to be true. I know that the capital of Belgium is Brussels. I know that. Objectively, I know that to be true. But I've never been there. I don't know Brussels. I know a fact. But there's this different level of knowing that comes from experience, that comes from an understanding that comes deep from within us as we experience something. What we don't want is for us to objectively know the fact of God. We want us to be able to experience God, to know God, to know about his goodness, to know about his power, to know about who he is to us, not just objectively because the Bible says so, but because we've experienced it. That we as a church know what it is to know God. And this is actually the Hebrew, the ancient Hebrew understanding of the word know. Is not just a knowledge, not just a piece of information, but an experiential understanding of what it means to know something is to experience it, is to be a part of it. And that's what we want for us and for God, that we wouldn't just have a deeper knowledge of God, that you wouldn't just come to church, learn some things, and then go home, but that you would experience him and that you would know him. Then after we know God at the basis of it all, the next three things all flow right out of that. That when you know God, then you know the next things. The second thing is that you would know his hope. Hope invites us into this stubborn Christian belief that regardless of the pain and the horror of human history and of the human existence that we experience, that someone who follows Jesus is somebody who refuses to believe that evil and suffering and pain get the last word. But that the resurrection of Jesus Christ means something. It means something about the future. It means something about our future, about your future, about my future, about the future of the universe, the future of humanity. And what it means for us, what it points to for us that changes everything, is what we would call hope. That as we walk through life, we have something called hope that exists beyond our circumstance. That exists beyond, well, one day maybe it'll all just be okay. But we have this knowledge that we don't hope that someday everything will be okay. But as followers of Jesus Christ who experientially know God, we don't hope that things will one day be okay. We know that one day we will spend eternity in glory with God. And that gives us hope, that we would know and experience hope, because whatever the pain and the suffering that I'm going through, and they can be very real and tangible and poignant and life-altering and foundation-shaking and all of those things, we don't minimize it, we don't try to say it doesn't exist, we don't just say be positive and walk over it and you'll be fine, but we know and we understand that no matter what we face, we know the end of our story, and we know hope. The third thing that we pray that you would experience at Cornerstone Church is that you would know his purpose. God created you for a reason. God created you with a plan. Oftentimes, in the society, in the world in which we live, we often have this idea that God's purpose for me is something that's for me. My purpose in life, what God has called me to do and what God has called me to be, it's my job. It's my career. It's something like that. But that's not the way that God has called us. It's not what he's called us to be. What we discover is that when we look in Scripture, God hasn't called you to be a teacher. He hasn't called you to be an auto mechanic. He hasn't called you to be a garbage man or an engineer or whatever it is that you are. God has called us to love and to serve people. And so we want everybody who's a part of Cornerstone Church to discover who it is that God has created them to be, far deeper than just a pilot. There's more to who you are than just that. And we want to discover how we can find purpose and meaning in serving God. We want every person who comes to Cornerstone Church to live the very best life possible. And what that means is a life fully in relationship in the center of the will of their Creator God. That is what life to the fullest means. It doesn't mean necessarily rich, and it doesn't mean necessarily power. And your best life is not necessarily the glamorous Hollywood best life. Your best life is right in the center of God's will for your life and whatever that looks like and whatever that walks itself out. We want you to discover together what that is for you. Another version of the verse that's up there, it will say, the riches of his glory inheritance, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Our purpose is found in the inheritance that we get in each other. That we find our purpose in serving one another. Our purpose is to be part of a body. Our purpose is to be a part of a community. Our purpose is found in serving each other and serving with each other and being a part of a family together. And the last thing that comes out of this verse that we believe is for everyone who is a part of Cornerstone Church is that we would know his power. We want everyone to know and experience the power comes from a life-changing, life-altering encounter with Jesus Christ. The freedom, the love, the forgiveness, the purpose, and the hope that comes into our lives because of the power of Jesus Christ at work in our lives. A verse that really opened my eyes and shows a great picture of what this looks like is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and it says this, but if a man who is not a Christian comes into your church meeting while you are all speaking God's word, he will understand that he is a sinner by what he hears. He will know that he is guilty. The secrets of his heart will be brought into the open. He will get onto his knees and worship God. And he will say, for sure, God is here with you. The way that Paul describes that beginning interaction with the church seems like it's all about guilt. Seems like it's all about, if God's really with you, when somebody walks into the church for the first time, boy, they better feel guilty. But that's not the end of the experience for he doesn't fall down on his knees and cry out, God, I'm a lowly sinner. God, I'm not worthy. He says, God is in this place. And the presence of God, as he encounters the presence of God and he encounters the power of God, his life is changed and he doesn't feel guilty. He understands what it means to be in the presence of God and how that can change and transform him. Now, the primary way that we as a church have an opportunity to do these things, to have these four things, especially as a corporate body, is here on Sunday mornings. Obviously, each one of us goes from here into our lives, but it's not practical for all of us to go together. You have your house, you have your family. My guess is your house isn't big enough for all of us. My guess is your boss wouldn't be crazy about all of us showing up. Today's Andrew's turn, so we're all going to work with Andrew today. That as a church, the primary way that we have to see these things take root in our lives is here on a Sunday morning. And so we place a very high value on the importance of our gathering times, as it's the best opportunity that we have with the most people in the room to try and communicate what and who Jesus Christ is and to see these things take hold. And so on Sunday mornings, we have four values. There's four things that we try to incorporate into our Sunday morning services on a weekly basis. The first thing that's a value on our Sunday morning is that our service would be a place of adoration. Adoration means love. Love is the foundation of our walk with the Lord. When Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, he gave two, and they both started with the same word. It's love God and love people. In 1 John 4, the Bible will say that we love God because he first loved us. And this is why our focus is on adoration. As we focus on both God's love for us, and then in return, our love for him. That we sing about Jesus not wanting heaven without us. God not wanting heaven without us. So he sent Jesus down, and the death couldn't hold him, and the grave was silenced, and this incredible act of love that Jesus had for his creation. And so how do we respond to that? You're worthy of all of my praise. That he loved us, and so we love him back. We will always do our best to make sure that our services are built around and focused around God's love for us and our love for him. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to shy away from difficult subjects or moments or not being fake or naive to the world around us, but taking on all of those things head on with a firm belief in the love that we have from Jesus and the hope that we have in Jesus, that through tough moments, that can lead us to opportunities for God to work and to change us. Always tackling these things in such a way that will leave us encouraged about what God is doing. We're not about guilt. We're never about guilt. The Holy Spirit may convict us along the way of things. And in fact, if we're responding to the call of God at times in our lives, that's probably what would and should happen. But conviction is not about guilt. It's about hope and it's about love. Second thing that we believe our Sunday services should be about is illumination. The Bible will tell us that God's word is a light unto our paths. And we believe that as we're spending time with God, in the presence of God, worshiping him and hearing from his word, God is going to do new and powerful things in our lives, things that he might be showing us that we need to do, or things that we need to change, things that he has for us next. But God is going to bring a light and illuminate our lives and our relationship with him. One of the most powerful and common metaphors all throughout Scripture for God's relationship to us is Scripture will talk over and over and over again about how God is a light into the darkness. And so we believe that as we spend time in communion with God, with his Spirit, that God's going to shine light into our lives. That we want our lives and our situations, our perspectives to be changed and altered because we've been with God. That his light would shine into our lives and we would see things differently. We would see things we didn't know that were there. We would see things about ourselves, about our journey, and that God's light would shine in our lives. Thirdly, our Sunday morning is a place to get preparation. Wherever you are in your faith journey when you come to Cornerstone Church, if it's your first time in church or if you've come to church your whole life, one thing is true, is that we need God. It doesn't matter how many Sundays in a row you've come to church. It doesn't matter how many years in a row you've come to church. We still need God in our lives. We still need to have him in our lives. And each week as we talk about Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection, my prayer for you is that this wouldn't be something that you just heard on Sunday and wasn't that nice. But as we talk about whatever it is that we're going to talk about on Sunday, that it would matter on Monday. And Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, that as God speaks to us in this house, that it would go with you and make a difference in your house. That there would be thoughts, principles, a truth, a word from the Lord that would come out of our Sunday mornings that God's going to give to you that would just stick with you and stick in your life, and that you would be able to live in a place where you would be able to say, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be a part of the world. Scripture will say that when we come together, we need to stir each other up towards love and good works. We need to be a place where we come and we get ready to go. That church would be about getting us ready, preparing us for what's next. Sundays are not just a relief from real life. But Sundays are where we come together to get prepared for everything that the world's going to throw at us. And the last thing that we want to see on a Sunday morning is that people would find salvation. We believe that people should have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior on Sundays. Church isn't just for the people who are here. It's for the people who aren't here yet. Church isn't just for believers. It's for people who aren't believers yet. And as the Bible will say, how will they believe unless they hear? And how are they going to hear unless somebody tells them? We will be a place where each and every week there's an opportunity for people to come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why at the end of our services, we will always extend an invitation for you to accept Jesus Christ. Because we need to be a place where we don't just hear about the life-changing power of God, but we need to be a place where people can experience the life-changing power of God even for the first time. So that's our priorities on a Sunday morning. Now I want to talk specifically for the next few minutes about what it means that we're Cornerstone Church. Cornerstone Church, for those of you who don't know, who may be newer to our body, Cornerstone Church is a multi-site, multi-campus church, which means we have more than one location. We've got the location here in Airdrie, and we also have a campus in Calgary. And while we may have more than one location, we are still one church, and at the heart of Cornerstone Church is our identity and is our motto, following Jesus together. We begin that motto with the word following. And the reason why we do that is because it's a recognition right out of the gate that this isn't about us. That we're not deciding where to go together. That it's not just a community decision that we make, but that we are disciples, that we are followers of Jesus Christ. We live our lives in submission to someone else. We don't serve, live, minister, or share the gospel for our glory, fame, or recognition. We are followers of Jesus, doing our very best to be the best followers that we can possibly be as we follow Jesus. Jesus is central in our motto and he's central in our church. At the heart of the Four Square denomination, which is the denomination we're a part of, that's those symbols at the back or the four square symbols. And we're going to talk more in the coming weeks and months about what it means to be a part of Four Square. But at the heart of our denomination, at the heart of our church is the person of Jesus. Each one of the four square symbols is a recognition of who Jesus is. They all revolve around the person of Jesus. Jesus Christ the Savior, Jesus Christ the Baptizer with the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ the Healer, and Jesus Christ the soon and coming King. The person that we follow, the person that we live, serve, and minister for is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we believe that he is utterly amazing and worth following with everything that you have. And the last priority that we have in all that we do is that we do it together. Cornerstone Church is one church that meets in multiple locations. And while that means that our campuses may have different focuses, may have different priorities in the micro, in the macro, the big picture is that we're part of the larger Cornerstone Church family. So that's what it means that we're a part of Cornerstone Church, that we follow, that we look to Jesus, and we do it together. Now, for our Cornerstone Church here in Airdrie, we have three values that we have as a church, three things that mark us as who and what we are. The first thing, and we say it a lot, and we try to communicate this a lot, and I think I've said it a few times already this morning, is that we are a family, that we are a family together. Jesus would say in Mark chapter 3, that whoever does what my Father wants is my brother and my sister and my mother. That as we follow God and as we live out what we've been called to do and what we've been called to be, God does this miraculous, amazing thing, and we don't just become friends. We don't just become similar space occupiers for an hour and 15 minutes if I don't talk too long every Sunday. But God does this amazing thing where he unites us together on a deeper level, where we become family together. As Cornerstone Church, our motto is following Jesus together. And for Cornerstone Church, Airdrie, what we say is as family we go. Secondly, the second value that we have as a church is that we celebrate children. Jesus will tell us in Mark chapter 9 that how we receive Jesus... how we receive children is a reflection of how we receive Jesus. He will say, whoever welcomes one of these kids, whoever welcomes one of these young people, welcomes me. But not only me, the one who sent me. And so we want to be a church where Jesus isn't tolerated. We don't want to be a church where Jesus should be seen but not heard. We don't want to be a church where we marginalize and push Jesus off to the side and say, well, we'll deal with Jesus later, the adults are doing something. But how we treat our kids, how we see our kids, how we respond to our kids, Jesus will say, that's what you're doing to me. And so I don't know about you, but I want to be a church that loves, celebrates, and embraces Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that Jesus himself told us that we do that is with kids. And so, we pay the price for embracing children. They're loud, they're silly, they're goofy, they're spinning around on the floor during worship. They're all of these things. And we celebrate it. Now, that doesn't mean we let them do whatever we want. It doesn't mean that kids can go crazy and all that. We have got rules and we've got structures. If you're one of our kids' ministry workers, we have a whole new manual that we just came out with to help us guide these children. Doesn't mean that our youth get to do whatever they want and just blah, whatever. The youth, or our youth workers work hard. We believe and trust. The Bible says train up a child in the way that they should go. And so we are responsible for that as the church. That's part of our responsibility. That's not just something shoved on parents. But we're community and we're family, but we celebrate children. And lastly, the last of our three values, and I'm actually in some ways working on shaping this one a little bit different because I want to add to it, but right now anyway, the last of our third values is that we desire to be multi-generational. A reaction to the last value that we talked about is very easily, so they're a church for young families. Gotcha. We're not just a church for young families. We're not a church for people with children. That's something that's functionally impossible to maintain in the long term. And we're in this for the long term. People who have kids need people who had kids to help them figure out how to have kids. People who have served God for 50 years have wisdom and insight to teach those who are brand new in serving the Lord. How do you serve God for 50 years? Well, let me tell you how I've been able to do that. Let me tell you the journey that I've been on with the Lord. People who are faithful have an opportunity to teach those who are just learning to be faithful. People without experience need people with experience to help them along the way. Everyone is welcome and everyone is needed. This goes back to the idea of we're family. You never graduate out of being a part of a family. There's never a moment where we look and we go, Grandma, we've been looking at the demographics of our family, and we need to get younger. Our age is trending too far the wrong way. So we appreciate all you've done up until now. Here's a gold watch. See ya. You never age out of your family. Your role may change, what your role inside the family looks like may change, but you're never too old to be a part of your family. And we don't believe here that somehow we need to be young. We need to somehow only cater to young. We believe that God has called us to be a family. And so for you, wherever you are in your life journey, you're a part of our family. Now, the reason why I want to add to this is because it would not diminish that aspect of it at all, but I think the other aspect that I want to look at is we need to make sure that we are desiring and wanting and valuing being multicultural. That we live in a world where, in a city and in a country with people that come from all over the world to be a part of it. And we want to make sure that we're embracing that and enjoying that and having that be a part of who our identity is. We need to place a high value on not all sharing the same life experience. But we need to have people from all over with all different cultural backgrounds and with all different things that have gone on in their life so that we can come together and have this picture of who God is. Scripture will say that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. We are in this together. We are united as the family of God, and age, race, gender, whatever it may be, nothing's going to separate us. We are together in all of this. So that gives us a picture of who we are as Cornerstone Church and who we are as Cornerstone Church Airdrie. Just a couple more things that I want to talk to you about. And the next thing that I want to talk to you about is everybody's favorite subject. I want to talk to you about you. We want to talk about you for just a minute. As we as a church have a firm belief about who and what you are. Who and what you are in Him. We believe that God... Our scripture will show us that all of us were created by God to make a difference in the world around us. And God has placed you where your unique abilities and your unique talents and your unique personality can make a difference and impact the lives of other people. And the longing and meaning that people have in their lives will best be fulfilled when you find, develop, and fulfill your purpose. We believe as a church that there's not this great dividing line that exists between the pastors and the congregation. That there's not somehow this anointing that God gives to the pastors that then I allow to drip off of me onto you. That's not our heart, is that somehow I'm the pastor and you're the parishioners. But we believe that God's Spirit works in all of us. And that's why we invite the Holy Spirit to speak to each one of us and allow for each one of us to be able to hear from the Holy Spirit. Every single person has something they can do to impact the lives of the others. We believe that every Christian is a minister. Everybody who names the name of Jesus has been called to fulfill a role, a duty, a task in this world. And your role and your duty and your task is to minister. Scripture will say that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That for each one of us, we've been given the ministry of bringing His creation back to Him. Now, that looks totally different for each one of us. Some of us are called up front to preach, and some of us are not called to do that. But every single one of us is called to be a minister. Secondly, we believe that every task is important. Human nature is to rank and to decide what's most important and what's least important and to say, well, if I really want to be a big deal, then I need to do this or this and that and that. And this is not that special and anybody can do this and all of that. But the reality is that we believe that everything that God has called us to do is as important as anything else. That we believe that everything we do needs to be, or everything that we do has a soul attached to it. Scripture will talk about in everything you do, and the two things that Paul will mention is eating or drinking. Do it all to the glory of God. We can bring God glory through our eating and our drinking. If we can do it through that, we can bring God glory through everything that we do. And this goes with those last two. The last principle is that we believed there is a U-shaped hole here at Cornerstone Church. Not all of us are a 10 everywhere. Not all of us are a 10 out of 10 in everything that we do and in everything that we try. None of us are. And not everybody will always have the role that they may look at and go, now that's the important stuff. I wish I was called to that. But instead, I'm called to this. But everyone has been created by God to fulfill a real purpose. And that means that you are incredibly gifted in some way. You have been given gifts by God, and He didn't just give you a little bit. God has gifted you in some way to do something. And when you're in that role, you'll get the most out of it, and God's kingdom will get the most out of you. There's just two more things that I want to talk to you about before we're done. Two sort of like administrative kind of things. One of the questions that sometimes people have about a church, and I think actually on the next page here, I think I forgot to delete the answers, so I think they're already filled in for you if you have your booklet. But we just want to take a second and talk to you about our Cornerstone Church government, what the leadership structure looks like at Cornerstone Church. First, Cornerstone Church is led by our pastors. Cornerstone Church, the pastoral staff team, is led as a whole by Pastor Barry Marston. Pastor Barry also serves as our Calgary campus pastor, and on Sundays, he mainly ministers there. Actually, today is exciting because today's Pastor Barry's first Sunday back from his sabbatical. And so we celebrate with our Calgary campus this morning as he returns. And so what that means is that on a big macro who we are as a church level, Pastor Barry oversees all of that. On a micro level, on a campus level though, on a more specific level, our campus is led by me. There we go. I knew if I waited long enough, somebody would have to clap because it would just get awkward. Or boo, I suppose. Boo. Oh, dear. My name's Brad. Bristow. Bristow. Now I lost my place. So I oversee the day-to-day, or the pastoral team oversees the day-to-day ministries and operations of the church. Pastor Matt, of course, serves along with me as our youth, young adults, worship, facility maintenance, lots of other stuff guy. And together as the pastors, we provide the church with our oversight, and we serve the congregation and are responsible for the spiritual life of our church. Secondly on your sheet there, sorry, Cornerstone Church is protected by our council. Our church council is members of the congregation chosen by the pastoral staff team, and the church council is ratified by the congregation at our annual general meeting. They oversee the finances, direct the provision of the facilities needed by the church, and help give or guide the spiritual health of our church. They provide the pastors with counsel regarding commitments and potential issues inside of the church. Our council members right now are Sarah Ogier, Cynthia Morris, Roy Stevens, and Andrew Clark from the Airdrie campus. And then we have four council members from our Calgary campus as well. Mark Dantu, this is going to be tricky because I'm doing it all from memory. Brandy Ruption, Rufus, and I know I'm going to say this wrong because I'm not Nigerian, but Rufus Idowo, and I know that's not right. I can see Bright already laughing at me. And Olu Taiwo. And so those are our council members from our Calgary campus. And lastly, Cornerstone Church is strengthened by our denomination. Cornerstone Church is proud to be part of the Foursquare Gospel family of churches. Our denomination serves and gives guidance and resources to our church to provide spiritual protection for our church. They give discipline to the church where it's needed and allow us to be part of a family who loves, cares, and supports one another. Now, the last thing that I want to talk to you about this morning is probably the largest elephant in the room when it comes to church. The thing that nobody ever really wants to talk about, but I find it better to just tear off the band-aids and talk about those things sometimes. The last thing that I just want to connect with you and talk to you about is church finances. Now, if you have the booklet, there's a couple pages written there about what we believe about finances and giving and tithing and all of those kind of things. We're not going to go through all of that right now, but I just want to give you a couple of words about what we believe about finances and giving and stewardship. Perhaps, depending on your experience, we may have a little bit of a different approach to giving and tithing in a church than perhaps you're used to. We don't give you any pressure. We don't even put tithing in front of you, per se. We didn't this morning, and we don't take time to pass the plate on a Sunday morning. And I'll talk about the reason for that in a second, but the reality is that there's a danger in that. That by not making giving a physical priority on our Sunday mornings, that it can become less of a priority to the people of Cornerstone, and that's a risk. But what we really and truly believe is that giving is an expression of worship. It's an expression of who we are to God, that we worship the Lord with everything. And if we worship the Lord with everything, then that means everything. And we don't hold back sections or areas of our lives. And so we believe that you, as an expression of your worship to God, well, tithe, if that's how you are choosing to express your worship to God. And so we don't go from person to person on a Sunday morning as we're singing Waymaker and go, are you worshiping? Are you worshiping? And go through and make sure that everybody... So we don't do the same thing with tithe. We provide lots of opportunities and ways in which you can do that, but we want you to worship from your own heart. Now, we as a church, we do believe in tithing. We don't get hung up on the idea of if it's a law, is it a requirement, is it a commandment, did Jesus talk enough about it, is it just an Old Testament principle? We don't get hung up in all of that stuff. But we choose to believe that if it is or if it isn't, that there is a guideline or a principle that God has given to us that we need to love, support, and worship God with our finances. For me personally, I believe that when Jesus said, when you tithe, it came with an expectation that you were going to. Jesus didn't say, if you tithe. He said, when you tithe. And so that, for me, is all I need. But we choose to believe that if it is or it isn't, or if it's a guideline or a principle, God has given us the concept of tithing, and those who are members of this church choose to follow it. We give 10% of our income to support our local church, and we encourage each other in that. Now, the last thing that I want to talk to you about when it comes to tithing is just reading you something that's written in your book. So if you have your book or not, this summarizes our understanding of giving and tithing. We believe the giving of tithes and offerings is worship to Jesus and expressing an expressing of the relationship between the individual giver and the Lord. Funds are not received income only. It's not just viewed as, oh, money coming in. They are worship. That's our heart when we is that we're not just, oh, money. People have offered their worship to the Lord. They are worship and are not considered to be a business transaction, but an expression of gratitude towards God. So that's it. That's step one of GrowTrack. Hopefully that allows you to know everything you would need to know about Cornerstone Church Airdrie, that you would now be more familiar with who we are and what we are, our values and our principles, what we believe, and a lot of those things. As we serve and live together here as Cornerstone Church Airdrie, that we would know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power. Thanks again for listening to the message. I pray that your heart was blessed by what God had to say today. If you'd like to connect further with Cornerstone Church Airdrie, there's a couple things that you can do. You can find us on the internet at cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com and select Airdrie from the homepage. If you'd like to connect to a pastor at the church, you can do that through our website. Once you're on the Airdrie page, just click on the New Here tab in the main menu and our campus pastor from the drop-down menu. You can connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram at Cornerstone Airdrie, or you can follow us on Twitter at CS Airdrie. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and get new content delivered directly to you. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast on iTunes, as that helps people find us easier. We're so grateful to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with our community in Airdrie and with you today. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we're a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. And you are a part of that family. As family, we grow. Like a ghost, you appeared walking on.